Well, today we're going to continue our sermon series, Overflow. Last week, as we introduced this series, we read from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And Jesus, as he was speaking to the woman at the well, said, "Anyone who drinks this water, the water from Jacob's well, will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." And so Jesus wants us all to experience fresh, flowing spring water coming from within. But what was he talking about? Well, in John 7, verses 37 to 39, he explains, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. And so Jesus wants to give us this gift of the Holy Spirit that will fill us like a fresh bubbling spring and give us eternal life. Now last week we read the beginning of the story of the woman at the well, and we read the end of it. And I told you this week we'd come back to the middle of it. So I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to John chapter 4. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 854. We'll be looking at verses 15 to 19, but we will continue reading. So we encourage you to leave your Bibles open there. John chapter 4, starting in verse 15. "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet." So Jesus has engaged this woman at the well in a conversation. He broke several cultural taboos, a Jew talking to a Samaritan, a man speaking to a woman. And so she responds to this invitation to drink this living water. She says, "Give it to me." And he kind of introduces another subject. He said, "Go get your husband first." I told you last week this was a woman with a reputation. This is why she came at noontime to draw water from the well, because none of the other women of the community wanted to be there with her. She had a history, and it wasn't good. And Jesus recognized that. He knew it. And her response is, you must be a prophet. How are you supposed to know this other than you're from God? Pick it up in verse 20. She says, "So tell me why it is that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while the Samaritans claim it's here in Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshiped." Part of this is a deflection. I don't want to talk about my history. And she changes the subject to talk about the place of worship because of the conflict between the Jews and the Samaritans. So which is the right place to worship? But Jesus is going to direct attention away from the question where to worship to how to worship. Check this out. "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." So we see this phrase used twice here in this conversation Jesus has with this woman, to worship in spirit and in truth. And so today we want to talk about what that means, to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'd like to share with you a story. I'm going to call it A Tale of Two Worshippers. And we're going to have a man who really wants to come and worship, but something happens. Watch.
Thank you.
Two men came to church to worship. Wow. But you know, there is a problem here that, I mean, let's just call it like it is. Many people do think the church is boring. And many churches contribute to this feeling by the way they actually conduct worship. In fact, many services look more like a funeral than a celebration. But many Christians contribute to this feeling by the way they worship, maybe with spotty attendance, tardiness, or even lack of participation. Which makes me want to ask a few questions of you today. And the first one is this: why are you here? Are you here because someone's making you come? Are you here to score points with God? Are you here out of duty or obligation or guilt? Or are you here to worship in spirit and in truth? Another question: what is your focus while you are here? Are you so tired, kind of like the man was in the video, that you're not really here? Are you so distracted that you're not really present? Are you so preoccupied with your plans later today that you're not really here? Or are you here to worship in spirit and in truth? Another question: what do you bring to worship? What kind of attitude did you come with today? What level of participation did you bring to worship today? What do you bring that either enhances or detracts from the worship experience of others? Well, let's talk for a moment. What does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? What was Jesus talking about? Well, worship has to come from the heart, and it must be based on a true perception of God and who He is. We talked a little bit about this in Adult Bible Fellowship today. If He really is our Creator, we have responsibilities to Him. But if you don't recognize God as Creator, then you also don't recognize any responsibility. But if you're going to worship in spirit and truth, it needs to come from this understanding of who God is, and our worship must come from the heart. It must be sincere. I think worship also must engage both our thoughts and our emotions. I've been to churches of both kinds, some where it's all about the intellect, but there's no heart in it. I've also been to other services where things have been pretty loose and freewheeling and everything was about feeling good, but there wasn't a lot of thought that was required. Sincerity alone does not make for acceptable worship. This is what Jesus was saying about the Samaritans. It's where the Samaritans got it wrong. They were sincere in their worship, but Jesus said, "You know very little about God." On the other hand, the Jewish religious leaders made the opposite mistake. They had truthful information about God, but time after time, Jesus told them, "You lack sincerity of heart. Your worship goes through the motions, but you don't really mean it." So when we worship in spirit and in truth, we've got to engage the mind and we've got to engage the heart. And this all stems from a recognition of who God is and our responsibilities to Him. When we worship this way, in spirit and in truth, we actually put ourselves in a place where we can drink this living water that comes from Jesus. Now, last week I introduced to you this idea of this fountain, and we talked about the Holy Spirit is the source of that living water. Jesus says rivers of living water will flow from the heart of a believer. And when He was talking about rivers of living water, He meant the Holy Spirit. And so the very top of this fountain is the Holy Spirit being the source of the water. And that first little bowl is when He fills up you. And this comes by drinking in the Word of God. And after you fill up, That allows you to overflow. And last week we talked about the progression from Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and ultimately the ends of the earth." And that's how God wants us to overflow. We have to let the Spirit fill us. And we talked last week about doing this through reading and drinking in God's Word. We talked about doing it through worship and prayer. And most importantly, we talked about responding in obedience. And when we do this, the Holy Spirit can flow into our lives, cause us to overflow, and we don't have to go to Jerusalem to spread the message. Jesus was saying, speak to those closest to you, your family and your friends. Let the Spirit moving in your life fill you up and overflow to your family and friends. And then into your community, and then into your world. And we're going to talk about those different levels over the next few weeks. But I wonder, did anybody work on our memory verse for this series? Romans 15, 13? Yeah? Well, I'm going to put this up here each week, and we can read it. Let's read it together, because this is the theme verse for this series. Paul says this, read with me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it begins by worshiping in spirit and in truth. So my challenge for you today is this. Worship the Lord this week in spirit and truth, with your heart and with your mind. Do it intentionally and do it full of joy. Now last week I gave you a psalm to read and meditate on, Psalm 63. Did any of you get to do that? Yeah? Well, this week I want to give you another one. It's from Psalm 145. And as you read this, as you meditate on it, as you drink it in, praise the Lord. The song that we sang first today, God, You Are My God and I Will Ever Praise You, starts off, I will seek you in the morning. I don't know about you, but when I start off my day reading the words of God and drinking in the living water, it kind of sets a tone for the day. So I want to encourage you, as you read and meditate on Psalm 145, try to do it the first part of your day, and then work on memorizing Romans 15, 13, and we'll see if by the end of the series we can do it without having the words on the screen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well. And Father, it tells us she was married many times. It doesn't tell us that she was ever a mother, but she had a rough life. And yet, you, Lord Jesus, reached out and spoke to her. And you spoke truth into her life. And you offered her the living water that would not just quench her thirst for the moment, but the living water that would quench the thirst of her soul. And Lord, we've come today seeking to drink that living water. And you've told us that we need to worship in spirit and truth, that God the Father is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Lord, forgive us for the times when we've come to church out of duty or obligation. Help us, Lord, to develop that hunger and thirst that can only be satisfied by your living water and your bread of life. Thank you for the atmosphere of worship that has been created today. And help us, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth so that our hearts and our lives can be filled with the living water that comes from your Spirit, and that we can overflow into the lives of those you have placed around us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song.